You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back together. Buck, how you doing, man?
Man, I am great, DJ. It's crazy because we're a month away from the draft. And, you know, everyone gets caught up in the mock drafts and the list and those things. But I think it's important for people to understand, like, when you're scouting, you're trying to do this for real. This is your real occupation, not like for clicks or whatever. A lot of it is trying to make sure that you get guys right, that you're staying true to the grading process and making sure that the grades that you issue out are not about being right on draft day, but about being right at the end of year one, year two, year three, in terms of how you project a player to play. And so some people will take their victory laps after the draft weekend where guys get selected. But it's really important that if you want to be a great scout, you want to be great in this business, it's about being able to project it forward and that your grades equal up to how you project when the player is going to perform, because ultimately that's how scouts are evaluated and judged.
All right. I think you bring up a great point here. And I think there's some big picture thinking that needs to take place during this period of time. So that's kind of what we're going to do today. We're going to have a little discussion on this, because I think what happens, and you've seen it when we're with teams, we've both seen it. Guys get so locked in on college and you're just watching college guys and you're talking draft, and you're talking prospects. Sometimes reality can get skewed a little bit, and you're so focused on this group of guys, you don't think of them in the greater context of the actual league and how things go. I wrote down these little phrases here, and I want to kind of get your thoughts on it, and then we'll jump in with both feet here. When you're evaluating players, you can look at how they play, right? You can go through the interview process and find out why they play. How are these guys motivated? That's an important part of it. When you're building your roster, you have to know who you play. Like, who am I playing against? Who I have to compete against? And then there's this question, which we're going to tackle today, which is what plays? So what works, what plays, what excels in the NFL? So we're going to take a little bit of a sidestep here. We've been locked in on these college guys. I think it's a good time to take a step back. Let's look, and we'll just do it simple stats-wise. We're going to look at some of the statistical leaders in the NFL, and we're going to have this conversation of what makes these guys so great, and how can that help us in the group we're looking at this year?
No, I mean, it's a great time to do it, because that's the important part of it. When you're a scout, like, everyone brings you in for training camp so you can look at your own team. So now you can evaluate the players that you're going to see in the fall versus the players that are playing on your team. The other thing that you do periodically through the summer is you'll look at NFL guys, the top NFL guys at certain positions, or the top NFL guys within your system, to get a true picture for, wow, okay, this is what's playing. Because a lot of times we think about ideals and prototypical measurements, and they have to have this and that. The league is full of imperfect players that are playing at a high level. And so what are the common denominators, the common traits that allow those guys to succeed and maybe overcome some of the deficiencies that they displayed when they were in college?
Yeah, and we're going to look at the guys at the top of the food chain. So you might not have guys that fit every criteria that make these guys the elite of the elite, but maybe there's a trait, there's something in there that we can take out and we can apply to, you know, the group that we have this year in this draft class. So let's start out here, first of all, Buck, and let's go pull this up here. Let's start at the quarterback position, as we always do. So if you look at the quarterbacks, and we're going to pull the stat here of just yards, right? So these guys led the league in yards. Mahomes, 5250, Herbert, 4739, Brady, right beneath them. Those are the top three. So let's go with the top three guys. So you could not get any more different than Mahomes, Herbert, and Tom Brady. But if I said to you, what's a trait that those three guys share? What is it?
Well, a few different things. Like, outside of the natural arm talent that you thought, DJ, I would say it's almost the ability to blend their high football IQ and their diagnostic skills with playing with a natural feel for the position. It's almost one of those things that you can't necessarily quantify, but you see it. The processing speed, the accuracy, the touch, the anticipation, the timing. They're very decisive and definitive with what they want to do with each play. And they make those things happen on the script, but also off the script.
Yeah, I wrote down a couple of things here. I think you start with knowledge. Like, those three guys are, and we've, you know, been around all
super
three
smart.
Of them.
All smart.
Crazy smart, right? Crazy smart. Different sizes, different packages there. Obviously, you know, Brady and Herbert are huge. Then you look at the athleticism. Okay, Herbert and Mahomes are really athletic. You know, there's a lot of differences there. Brady on script predominantly. Mahomes does his best, his magic off script. Herbert's probably a little bit of a mix, you know, of those two guys. But the knowledge, the football instincts to go along with the intelligence. So not only you have the brain power, but when you get on the field, there's that in-game instinct and feel. With Brady, it's the pocket presence and pocket movement you see, which is an instinct thing. And then the third one I wrote down, and there's other things we can get into, but Buck, this is a non-negotiable for me, toughness. Like, absolutely. Those three guys, how about the toughness that those three guys have?
Well, I mean, I think it's one of the number one traits. And when we think about toughness, I want to make sure everyone understands, break it down in two different areas. There's physical toughness, like your ability to withstand the pounding, your ability to not flinch after being beat up and battered over four quarters, but you still hang in there. But really, it's the mental toughness. It's the discipline that you play with. Can you play discipline against a umbrella coverage where they're taking away the deep ball and saying you can have all the underneath stuff? Are you disciplined enough, tough enough to take those things over and over again? How do you bounce back from poor plays and poor moments? Man, you just threw two interceptions on back-to-back drives. How are you that next drive? Are you hesitant? Are you reluctant to make the plays? Will you still dial it up and kind of make that throw that needs to be made for your team to win it? Or do you go in your shell and you just kind of start becoming a check down Charlie? That toughness part of the game is underrated, but it is the difference between good and great. The great players all have a level of toughness that you see, that you sense, that you feel, and their teammates know that they're tough guys. You got to be a tough guy at the quarterback position.
So if you're filtering through and you're looking to hit that checklist, if we talk about the knowledge, the instincts, and the toughness, right? We're not even talking about arm strength, accuracy, none of like the quarterback stuff that we've been talking about this whole time. This is why this is a fun discussion. To me, it's why there's that line after Bryce and CJ, CJ and Bryce, however you want to put those two. Those guys hit every one. Intelligent, but instincts on the field. And then the toughness. And I can go through the rest of these other guys, and I mean, obviously, look at the injuries that some of them played with. The toughness is a check mark. But you might have some issues. Like, Levis is a good example. Levis is extremely intelligent. He's extremely tough. He was playing through injuries. He probably should have sat out last year. But then the instinct part of it, you know, the pocket feel, the pocket presence, you know, that's where he's down a little bit. So in terms of checking all those, to me, it's those same, top two guys. It's the same. It's where we were.
It's the same. And so there's a fascination in people who talked and like I might be pointed out as a guy who's been very critical of Anthony Richardson being talked about as a top five. But DJ, when you talk about that and when you hold the standard high and you're comparing him and them to those top guys, because the guys that you're mentioning, Mahomes, Herbert, Tom Brady, you're talking about instincts, arm talent, toughness. Yes, they're all good athletes, with the exception of Brady. But Brady, you got to remember, Brady was drafted MLB, but like he has a level of athleticism that he had when he was a younger player. He's not a runaround athlete, but his ability to move within the pocket displays some athleticism. But the toughness, and you have to have that stuff. And so when you're comparing those guys, it's really important to keep the bar high. I know we love quarterbacks and the fascination with like mock drafts. We can put all these quarterbacks there. But really, when you're doing it and your job is on the line, those things, those intangible qualities that you're saying are common denominators or common traits amongst those three, yeah, you have to have them. And Stroud and Young, they have them. If they fail, I'm more likely to believe it'd be injury stuff, poor fit in system, something like that, not because of like their own individual talent. They don't have the goods to be able to play at a high level in the league.
Yeah, no, it's a good like filter. Like you're just kind of dropping these guys through a filter and see who shakes through. And I think that one is a position where it feels like it matches from the, you know, the narrow focus we've had on the draft. I think when you broaden out and look at the top guys, and again, this is an arbitrary number. We're looking at passing yards and pulling that number. But I mean, I think if we were to go down the list and pull up Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, we're going to have the same, those same three traits are going to show up with all those guys.
They show up time and time again, and you can't have enough of, and we've said it. I think we said it. How did we say it? Did Steve Young say it? And you've kind of talked about it.
Oh,
not over my dead body.
Yep.
Not over my dead body. There is this thing that the best quarterbacks have, no matter what, no matter how bad it is, we'll find a way to get it done. And I know we're at a time where people like to debate whether wins and quarterback wins and playoff wins and regular season wins, where does that stuff matter? At the end of the day, your quarterback is supposed to be the guy that can help you get to the winner's circle. And we've talked about it. I think we used it the year that Sam Darnold, those guys came over, came out. It's like playing pickup basketball. There's some guys that you put on any pickup basketball team, their team finds a way to win because they have these qualities that enable guys to play better when they're around them. At the end of the day, I want the quarterback that is basically the best player to help me win pickup games. He has the secret sauce that allows us to consistently win. It's important.
Yep. I love that. The basketball thing is very accurate. You put them in a racquetball court and a gym, whatever, those guys just ain't, they're not going to lose.
They're winners. Lose. At the end of the day, they're winners. The best compliment that you can bestow upon a quarterback, he's a winner. He finds a way to get it done with less. Pat Mahomes, as much as we talk about the arm talent and all the other stuff, DJ, this year, he went to another category in terms of like all-time greats because he won with not a perfect cast of characters around him. To me, that's what quarterbacking is. Man, you give me whatever I have to have, and I'll figure out a way to get it done. It's important.
Mm-hmm. No, I love it. All right, let's get to running backs here. We're just looking at rushing yards last year. We got Josh Jacobs, we've got Derrick Henry, and we've got Nick Chubb. So when you look at those three names, Buck, and you hear those names, like the like blinks, we call it blink scouting, right? What's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear those three names, those three guys?
Big, physical, finishers. When you bring up all those names, if I close my eyes, there's a running style that I have in my head. I can envision all of those guys running through contact, finishing the game off. We're in a four-minute situation. The ball is going to them. Everyone in the stadium knows they're getting the ball, but they're going to finish the game out. That toughness fact, look, we'll say this now, toughness is central to the DNA of anybody who's a high level player. That's a part of it. But with those guys, it's a big part of their game, but big physical finishers. We've talked about it, I think yesterday, on My Draft Live or maybe the podcast. I can't remember. We've done so much stuff. We talked about that line being about 215, 217 pounds when it comes to the running back, that those backs have enough girth, enough weight to them that you feel them over time. And I'll tell you, as a defender, it's a big difference hitting a big body and hitting a little old scat back. over time, the body blows that a big back delivers wears down the defense. And we're not at a time where the running game is still a top priority, but it still is essential to success. Those big backs, man, they still are very, very critical to being able to win in certain capacities at certain stages of the season.
Well, the you know the line, right? It's greater to give than to receive. Like these guys give punishment. They don't receive punishment. These guys are contact seekers. Like these are big, powerful, physical guys who don't shy away from it, who run with purpose. You use the words physical, big, and finishers. I think those are three great words, Buck. I think that's a great way to describe it. And they're guys that you don't want to, their guys just don't, you get sick of them. You don't want to see them in the fourth quarter. You don't want to do that anymore.
You get tired of tackling. There's a saying that old coaches say, you need to be the hammer or the nail. And those guys are hammers. They just keep pounding on you. And at the end of the day, you eventually submit. It is still a physical game. No matter how much we talk about passing and those things, there's an element of physicality in football that you have to have. And your running backs have to be tone setters when it comes to that, because there's going to be a time in every game where you got to get the dirty yards. You got to get your nose dirty. You got to get the tough physical yards to be able to extend the drive, get first downs, punch the ball in the end zone. And to me, if I'm building around a running back or I have a back that is a key part of the offense, he needs to be above that line at 215 pounds, and he has to be a physical runner that can run through contact.
So Bijan Robinson is right at that 215, right? So if we're saying, you know, obviously he checks all those boxes that we just talked about. If we're looking for some other guys to throw into the mix, other running backs, let me give you a couple names here. How about my man Tank Bigsby from Auburn? He's 210 pounds, so he's just below that line, but still somebody that runs with a purpose, somebody that runs real violent, real physical at 210 pounds. Roshan Johnson, the other running back.
Oh, yeah.
219 pounds, Buck. Like, that's the profile. 6.02, 219, ran 4.58, which is fast enough. You know, those are some of the bigger guys, and there's not a ton of them. There really aren't a ton of
former backs. Yeah, Roshan Johnson, former high school quarterback, made a conversion at Texas. You see the physicality, and how about that? We talk about it's almost like in fantasy football when you handcuff. How about the Texas Longhorns being able to handcuff Bijan Robinson with another big back that can continue to bang? So now you never have to change what it is that you do on offense. And we're at a time where people like to operate by committee. And let's say there are three backs that you're using by committee. You have to make a decision. Do you want backs number one and three to be the physical backs that do the dirty work? And then the second back is your guy that comes out of the backfield. He does the perimeter run game. He's a factor in the passing game. And a lot of times, and talking to running back coaches, they'll say, if there's an injury to number one, you'll start number three so you can keep the second back in his comfortable role and familiar role. A lot of people didn't understand why the Cowboys refused to kind of give Tony Pollard more stuff, even though it was clear that he was the more dynamic back. When you talk to people there, they said that role that he fills, he's best in that role. If we change him and make him the workhorse back, we lose some of the explosiveness and sizzle that he provides as being the change of pace weapon.
I would add Kendre Miller there from TCU as well, 215 pound back who runs hard. Actually, is a real physical blocker as well when you watch him. But those are some interesting traits. And you talked about with Tony Pollard, like there's a difference between being a compliment and being a substitute. Like, you know, he's the compliment. He plays that complimentary role and he excels in that role. Let's keep him there. Don't get it twisted. Identify who these guys are. And I think, you know, as we transition from running backs to receivers, it's important to know. You know, on the receiver board, you have guys listed outside and you have a slot board. Like, they're two different positions, just like corners and nickels. They're two totally different positions. I think most teams have their backs too. It's their big back and their complementary back. Like, it's two different columns of running backs.
Yeah, different columns. And you know, we're in a position, we've talked about positionless ball, but positionless football doesn't mean you're without roles. There are role-specific things that you're asking players to do. And the best teams, we talked about, like, because we're going to wide receiver. Wide receiver cores are like basketball teams. You have guys that occupy different roles. Your big red zone weapon. Your guy that specializes in a contested catch. You have your guy that can be the vertical stretch guy. You have your catch and run specialist that can run around and make plays on short passes in the big games. And then you have your true number one that can do a little bit of everything. More than likely, he's not your vertical playmaker, but he's a great route runner. He creates separation. He makes the plays when it's time to move the chains. He's that guy that can fend off double teams and find a way to consistently get open. And so when you're evaluating these wide receivers, it's projecting the guy in the right role. And then when you're taking these wide receivers, it's making sure you're taking the guy to fit the role that you need. Not, oh, we're taking him, but we're going to ask him to do something differently than he displayed in college. More times than not, that doesn't work. You got to put him in a situation to do what he does well and what you've seen him do well on tape.
100%. That's a great point. Let's get to wideouts and let's go to the top three. And just in terms of receiving yards, it's Justin Jefferson, it's Tyreek Hill, it's Davante Adams. Now, these are elite players. Ironically, though, when you look at it, none of them were top 10 picks. Justin Jefferson's the only first round pick in the bunch. So receivers come in all different areas. Even if you go below that, it's AJ Brown and Stephon Diggs. But if we look at those three, Jefferson, Hill, Davante Adams, what do they have in common?
The two guys are not like the other. Jefferson and Davante Adams are spectacular route runners. I cannot undersell how good they are. I can't oversell how good they are as route runners. They can run every route in the book. They have all the tricks in the bag. They can beat you with speed and quickness. They can beat you with wiggle at the top. They have all the little subtle head and shoulder maneuvers to create separation. They're different. Tyreek Hill is a different animal. Tyreek Hill is one of the most explosive 0-60 athletes that I've ever seen in terms of his ability to get the top speed in a hurry is different. It's breathtaking watching him. He dominates people with his explosiveness. And talk about an A+, five-star, whatever you want to give athlete, he is that. His ability to just make it happen because of his explosiveness separates him from others. But the other two guys are craftsmen. They're route runners. They are the Picassos that paint masterpieces in terms of how they run routes. Tyreek Hill is just a freak athlete with super explosive traits.
Yeah, and I would just push back on one thing. I would say with Tyreek, I think, and we've seen, you know, explosive fast guys come into this league and not have huge success. I think there's more polish to him as a track star, legit fast guy in the league. But I think there's actually polish to his game, you know, like that. I think he's, maybe we don't put him in the pure craftsman column with Jefferson and Adams, but there's more nuance to his game and there's more route running ability there. There's nothing, I mean, it's not like he's just a three-route guy. He can run any route you want to run.
I think the thing that he has mastered is his ability to keep it on the move. Meaning there's a thing where sometimes with big receivers, he's not a big receiver, but sometimes big receivers have a tough time sitting down, stopping and starting, coming out their breaks. Tyreek Hill has mastered the art of keeping it on the move where speed cutting in breaking routes, catching crossing routes, deep overs, things where he never has to really stop. He's not necessarily a comeback guy. He is on the move. And the great things that teams have done, they not only put him in a role where he does that, they built offenses where they're not asking him to do some of those things. He doesn't run the same routes that Davante Adams may run on a game-by-game basis, but they put him in a role where he is doing things that fit his skill set, which is why he's able to be a dominant player on the perimeter.
Yeah, but even to me, like even on those routes on the move, like you'll see just pure speed guys. They're running a deep over. It is a straight shot. He understands how to stair step guys. He understands how
He has that leverage. For sure.
He has that nuance to him, you know? So if I'm looking through and I'm saying, okay, give me three characteristics of these guys, which are a little different as we just discussed. To me, I start with the fact that there's quickness in all three. You know, obviously Tyreek Hill has a different gear. All three of those guys have elite quickness. I think there's a polish to their game. So we can say what type of route runners, but there's polish. Like they understand the game. There's polish to them. And then the third one, which we've talked about in the past, and it even goes deeper if you go deeper down this list, play strength for wideouts, a big deal, man.
It is a big deal. And then let's go back to Tyreek Hill because I will say this now because Steve Smith, our colleague at NFL Media, I was in Carolina when we brought him over. And he is one of the guys that I would say is rare in terms of how he went from being the big play specialist to the number one receiver. The common denominator between Steve Smith and Tyreek Hill, when you look at their frames, they're different. They're stout, they're wider, they're thick, they're like running backs on the perimeter. And that stature allows them to run through contact. They break tackles, they are tough to get down in one-on-one situations because you can't wrap them up. And it's not just the wiggle, it's the play strength that you talked about. It's another reason Deebo Samuel didn't rate up there, but when you look at Deebo Samuel and his physicality, the way his body build is, you have to really run through him to tackle him and knock him off his pins. Tyreek Hill, Steve Smith, those guys have those traits because they're thicker. They're not thin guys that can't break tackles and can't run out of contact.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And to me, when you look at this class, you know, this, when we look through this exercise, it bodes well for Jaxon Smith-Njigba when you just look at him in terms of quickness, play strength, and polish, checks all those boxes.
DJ, it was hard, right? So when we started the process, right, everyone's down on him. I was down on him because he didn't play. I didn't see him. You didn't do this or whatever. But then it takes a brief look at the tape and you're like, oh, man, he has it. Man, yeah. He has the tools. You go back and look last season, he's like, man, he has all the tools that traditionally play well in this game. He can run routes. He has great stop-start quickness. And his fearlessness over the middle of the field. Because it's one thing to position and say somebody's going to be a slot receiver. It's another thing to say, hey, man, you got to run in there in traffic. And I know we talk about, oh, they can't hit and do those things. I am telling you, it doesn't matter. When you run and venture inside the numbers in between the hashes, there are a lot of live bodies. And there's still angry guys, linebacker and safety, that still will put a hit on you. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, but when you watch him, there is a calmness to his game when he runs over the middle of the field that is a little different than some guys. So confident, so natural with his hands, just very pure in terms of like playing the position, working over the middle. To me, he's terrific. And I've had this argument with some receiver coaches in the league. I think he can do more than just play the slot. I really, when I look at him, I think he's a true number one. We'll see if that happens as he evolves. But to me, he absolutely has the tools to be a number one receiver. We'll see if he does that. But in the slot, he is terrific.
Yeah, it's difficult for me because I have a higher grade on Jordan Addison. You know, but when you step back, and I'm probably going to stick with that just because I want to be true to my grade that I gave him as a player. Mm-hmm. And we have seen, you know, I gave you the top guys, but we have seen, you know, Devontae Smith is with a thin frame have success. Mm-hmm. There are, you know, I think last year with Jahan Dotson did some nice things for Washington, thin guys. So I think there's a place for him. I think he's a number two. I don't think he's ever going to be a number one. I think that's who he is, what he is. But I'm telling you, when you look at it and try and, you know, be objective, and I say Smith-Njigba is 23 pounds heavier than he is. They ran basically the same. You know, obviously we got to see Jordan Addison a lot this year. We didn't see much of Smith-Njigba, but there are signs that point me in that direction. And then the other one I'll say, even though, you know, he's only 182 pounds, but he's at 5'9". So he's put together, built a little bit better. Zay Flowers, quicks, polished, play strength. He checks all three of those boxes.
So Zay Flowers is my guy in that, like outside of Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Zay Flowers to me, when I see him and I make this comparison and I want people to think about Antonio Brown before it kind of went off the rails for him. Think about Antonio Brown early in the Pittsburgh years when he was going crazy running around. When I see Zay Flowers, I see Antonio Brown in terms of his explosiveness, running routes, catching the ball after the catch. Maybe some of the anger and enthusiasm that he plays with reminds me a lot of that. And when you talk about the characteristics to be a great one, I think he hasn't. And if given the opportunity in the right situation where he floats from slot to outside, he's going to be a problem. He's going to be a handful because, man, he has the goods.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff, man. Again, we're just looking at some statistical stuff here. So not getting into the tight ends, not getting into the offensive line, just kind of looking at those positions. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll hit on some pass rushers. We'll look at the, you know, leading interceptors in the back end. We'll also look at the leading tacklers, see if we can make a couple defensive takeaways as well. We'll do that right after this. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink.
which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Buck, when we look at the defensive side of the ball, let's start with pass rushers. Let's just go to sacks here. Top three last year, Bosa with 18.5. You got Hassan Reddick with 16. You got Myles Garrett tied with 16 as well. So when you look at Bosa, Reddick, Garrett, I mean, those are three totally different players. But looking at those three edge rushers, what can you say that they have in common?
Snap count quickness and anticipation. Their ability to get off the ball is a separator. I mean, they come off the ball with cat-like quickness, and they put immediate pressure on the edge blockers. Then there's some different things because you have Joey Bosa and Myles Garrett. Joey Bosa is a technician. He has a great array of moves where he can kind of work you in. We talk about Mr. Miyagi, like his wax on, wax off, all the stuff that he brings is problematic. Myles Garrett is just a freak athlete with tools. He does it. And then Hassan Reddick, you know, and we talk about like pass rushers being able to be found at all different levels and come in all different packages. His speed, burst, his balance, his relentlessness, all of those things kind of stand out when I think about all three guys because they are so vastly different in how they go about it.
So I wrote down three words. Again, these are three different guys, just body types, right? Totally differently built. But I would say of these three guys, the things you cannot argue about them, Number one is their get off, which you referenced. You know, these guys all get off the ball. They're explosive. First step, they can go. They can all three corner. Once they get to the top of their rush, that's a skill, yeah. man. Be able to have that ankle flexion and bend to be able to corner once you get to the top of your rush. And then number three, you can combine it, just effort and finish. Like, these guys don't ever stop. There's just, you know, you don't get a break. There's not a down, you get a break from those guys. Even as talented as Myles Garrett and Nick Bosa are, you know, to me, it never stops. And Hassan Reddick is somebody who's not real big. You expect that from him. He's going to have more of a motor. He's going to keep going down after down. All three of these guys, man, there's no off button.
No off button. Non-stop. And that's part of it. DJ, we talked about in scouting pass rushers, effort and relentlessness goes a long way in terms of being able to sack and get the quarterback down. Because sometimes it's on your second and third try in terms of you stop, you stalemate it, you spin out of it, you come free, he runs around a little bit, boom, then you sack him. You have to chase him all over the field. Because think about it, the quarterback position has changed where we have more athletes running around extending plays. And so do you have that about you to continue to keep pursuing, to wear him down, to chase him down, to get him? You have to have that. The underrated trait, DJ, I would say, is stamina. We talk about pass rushing and how hard it is to rush the pass 40, 45 times a game and be able to keep coming at him when you haven't sniffed or tasted the pass. But now in the fourth quarter, you got a chance to close it out. Do you have something else left in the tank to be able to get it done? These guys are finishers. And, you know, when you close the game out in the fourth quarter, you guys have to be able to set the quarterback. And all of those guys have that ability.
All right, so I'm writing down some of these names as we're going here about guys that check this list. And it's pretty interesting because if you look at the top, right, Will Anderson, he's got a couple of those, right? The get off and the effort and finish, that's there, no question. He is not an elite bender once he gets to the top of his rush. That's not him. That's not really his style. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. He's again, we give him the grade we give him. We put him all the way up there at the top of the board. But if we're just being true to this exercise, yeah. the guys who come through and check that list off, you look at Nolan Smith from Georgia.
Yeah.
Get off, corner, effort, check, check, check. Will McDonald, who is kind of a fringe first rounder. You know, this is good for him. You look at what he does out of Iowa State. Get off, corner, effort, check, check, check. And I'll give you another one here. Felix Anadike Uzama from
K-State.
I think he's going to go in the first round. And when you look at that, you talk about the last part, the effort, the finish. He's got like 8 forced fumbles over the last 2 years. That shows you he's getting home and he's finishing to go along with the get off and to go along with his ability to corner.
Yeah, that's the thing. The great ones not only get to the quarterback, they find a way to knock the ball loose. Having played with Bruce Smith and Derek Thomas and watching Reggie White when I was there, like just their ability to change the game with a strip sack, you know, being able to knock it in, always being aware of where the quarterback or where the people hold the ball, that matters. And pass rushers we've seen, DJ, it's not always just the first round guys. They're guys that kind of come out of different areas of the draft that end up being great pass rushers. And so you talk about it, being able to corner, being able to have the quickness, all of that stuff, like just the relentless effort. Playing hard is a skill. And when you play hard and you combine that with high-level skills, then you have a chance to be a dominant player.
Yeah, B.J. Ojulari is another one who checks
boxes. He's another one.
He can really bend.
You know, it's funny because, like, the thing with B.J. Ojulari and all of these guys, it's hard, like, with me doing top five lists because so many of these guys play these blended positions, right? Yeah. Because you either have edge rusher or you have linebacker. Like, we no longer have everything categorized enough to really give everyone their just due. But B.J. Ojulari, when you see him, and I think he's different than some of the other guys that have come out of there in region. He's different than Kalavon Chase, and he's different than those guys. This dude has spectacular off-the-ball jumps, instincts, quicks. Like, he comes off the ball in a hurry. It's just, where do we line him up in base defense? How do we play him? Is he stout enough to do that stuff? But when it's time to go hunt, he's one of the best.
Yeah, and let me give you one last name here who's been kind of my sleeper draft crush through this whole process has been Jose Ramirez from Eastern Michigan. You know, he's got 10 sacks. He's got juice with his first step. You look at him when he gets off the ball, he can get off the ball, he can corner, and he can finish. So he's somebody, again, third, fourth round. Another one who checks all three of those boxes, Buck, is Yaya Diaby from Louisville, who's kind of been riding under the radar. When you look at his numbers, 6.033, 263, he ran 4.51. They play a lot of that three-man front stuff, so he doesn't get loosened up as much as you think. He's got 34-inch arms, Buck. Like, there's a lot to work with there when you start going through the checklist.
A lot of work with, and when you watch Louisville's defense, they are a disruptive bunch, man. They play hard. They come from everywhere. They bring pressure nonstop, and he was a big part of that. And they have guys in the back end that can back him up, so they can do that. This is a draft, and we talked about it with pass rush. If you know exactly what you're looking for, you can find some guys. We talked about the strength of the draft and those things. Maybe not the five stars, the blue chippers right away that you can say, oh, automatically he's going to go. But we're going to look back and see a lot of guys that rack up a lot of numbers that day twos, some day threes that kind of come out the crypt and have outstanding NFL careers.
All right, let's get to this, some of these leading tacklers. And again, this is not the be-all, end-all stat for linebackers, but it's one we're going to just go with and see if we come up with anything. Foye Oluokun from your Jags led the league in tackles last year impressively. Nick Bolton from KC, who we both saw twice last year. And then Roquan Smith from Baltimore coming over after the trade from Chicago. When you look at those three linebackers, and Oluokun, somebody you see each and every week, Buck, what are a couple traits there that he possesses?
Instincts. Awareness, strong hands in terms of like when they hit you and wrap you, you go down. They don't miss a lot of tackles. And I think that is an underrated part of the position. Good tacklers don't miss, man. It's a rarity that they miss because they have these strong hands. When they lock onto you and latch onto the jersey, you go down.
Yeah. I wrote down a lot, you know, what you were just talking about there, FBI, awareness. So instincts and awareness, you know, combine those however you want to combine them, but your eyes work. You know, we talk about it. Blind linebacker doesn't do you any good. I don't care if he's the fastest guy on the field. If he's blind, doesn't help. Got to have great eyes. You got to have great instincts. And I just wrote on stopping power to kind of go along with what you were saying. Like there's just a difference between guys who catch tackle. In other words, I'm going to gather, I'm going to catch, and I'm going to fall back versus a guy who hits you. There's stopping power. When we make contact, it's over. That's a wall. It's an imaginary wall that's been set up there when they hit you and get you on the ground. So, you know, when you look at it from that standpoint, it's interesting because every year I fall into this trap. You get seduced by the speed at the linebacker position. And it's important. You need to be able to run to cover, because if you can't cover, you can't play. But in terms of being, you know, solid, productive players, that's not enough. You got to have eyes, man. If you don't have eyes, you got no chance.
Well, because you have so much misdirection. Let's think about the Philadelphia Eagles and what they do with Jalen Hurts and all of the misdirection. You got guards and tackles pulling one way. You have the back going the other way. You have Jalen Hurts, who's definitely ball faking, and then he goes where the pullers go. Your ability to sort that stuff out in real time, you have to be able to do it. You have to be able to figure out the pin and pull schemes versus guys that are running zone schemes and all the other stuff and the trickery. And now you can kind of move down the field while you're doing these RPOs. Great eye discipline is essential to being a great NFL linebacker.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you kind of look at some of these guys who have some of those traits in this draft class. You know, gosh, I'm just going through some of these names here. Actually, Henry Toto from Alabama goes through that list pretty good when you look at it.
DJ, he's one of my favorites at the position. As instinctive as they come, his ability to read, key, diagnose, get through the trash, he does it. You know, he's not talked about as one of those top players, but when you watch him play, you're like, man, he checks off a lot of boxes in terms of what it should look like. He's a really good player when it comes to being able to sort out all of that stuff, get through it, and make plays in between the tackle-to-tackle box.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. There's not a lot of them in this draft. You know, I go back to Marte Mapu from Sac State, who I love. He's somebody that's got excellent eyes, excellent instincts. He's obviously, you know, a little bit undersized. He's coming off of a pec injury that he suffered, so we haven't got to see him go through the spring process. But he's kind of the modern linebacker as a former safety who can really run and cover, and he sees it well, trusts his eyes, and goes. So, interesting. It's not the strength of this draft by any stretch, but those are a couple interesting names that when you kind of run them through that filter, that's what pops.
Yeah, it pops. It's just the ability to see through or sort through the trash and make plays. The stopping power, the hands, underrated aspect, but you have to see it. Guys have to thump. You have to be able to thump to be a really good linebacker in this league.
All right, we go to picks last year. Last one that we'll hit on here. Justin Simmons from Denver had 6. Minka had 6 with the Steelers. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, we know what he did with Philly. Tariq Woolen, he had 6 as well. All those guys with 6 picks. And then right behind him was Patrick Peterson with 5. So you're looking at those guys. Interesting collection of players there. But what stands out to you?
Well, first, because you can categorize them in 2 different areas. One, there's like 3 safeties that are in that mix. Yeah. And then you have 2 corners. The safeties, instincts, awareness. I feel like we've talked about this for all of it. Like the instincts, the awareness, the high IQ that is necessary that you have to make plays in this league, because you got to be able to anticipate what's happening. And then you got to trust it and go. And so the fearlessness that those guys play with in terms of the range and just going for it, all of them make plays. And I'll say the last part of the underrated part is catching the ball. Mm-hmm. Like catching the ball is one thing to be there, DJ. It's another thing to catch it. They come down with the interceptions when they get the chances.
So I'm just going back and thinking about these guys when they were coming out into the draft process. And some of them just, it jumps to me. When you think about the connection between instincts, intelligence, and work ethic, right? All those things work together, because you have guys that you can tell have studied what they need to study. They trust their eyes, and then they have the instincts to see it in real time at a fast pace and then go make plays. I think it's hard to be it's funny, right? Everybody says, you know, it's funny, the harder I work, the luckier I get. Like the more I study, the more, you know, my work ethic is an elite level. Man, it's amazing. All of a sudden my instincts are pretty darn good. You know, because you see it, you trust it, you go. Those guys are all smart. Those guys are all really instinctive on the field. You talked about the ability to catch. But I think maybe the underrated aspect of that, those guys are all, like, think about what they said about Minka Fitzpatrick coming out of college. Mm-hmm. Think about what they said about Patrick Peterson coming out. Justin Simmons, like, these guys were leaders. These guys were lauded for their not only their intelligence, but their work ethic. To me, at those positions, especially at safety, like, it's not just the biggest, most athletic guys. It's the guys that study and know what the heck they're looking at.
DJ, it's so much of that. It's so much of being able to do it, because safety, it's funny, because I felt like for years in draft rooms, safeties were underrated in terms of, oh, we just take the slow corner, we move them to safety, and it goes. But there's so much more to that, because you're the traffic cop. You have to kind of tie everything together, get everyone on the same page. You have to understand, okay, here's where the offense is lined up in. If this guy moves, I got to check us and get us in this position. I got to do all of those things in terms of being able to move the pieces on the chessboard, while also honing in on the quarterback and being able to understand, man, this guy, when he looks here, he doesn't read off. He doesn't look off on the eye. So when I see him look to the right, I'm going. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff that you're doing in nanoseconds, that matters. And so it's one of the positions where I may take a lesser athlete, but a smarter player, because a smarter player is going to play faster than the athlete who doesn't have the natural instincts.
Yeah, so there's a couple guys that jump out when we think about this. I know he didn't run great, but Jair Brownback, and it's the same type of thing, right?
Was he turnover king, takeaway king, whatever his nickname is? He's always around it.
The not only do you have like former corner, you know, some of the movement skills, the ball skills, the production that he has, all that stuff's great. The toughness, you see all that on tape. He didn't run fast. He ran 4.65 at the combine. You wish he would run faster, but as you said, your eyes are more important than your actual 40 time at this point. But the character stuff that I got on him in terms of the work ethic, like, off the charts. Like, there you go. Like, let's not make this complicated. This guy's got tons of ball production. This guy's is unbelievable instincts on the field. And then, oh yeah, it's not a coincidence. He's got the work ethic to back it up.
Yeah, he does have all of it. DJ, when you watch him, look, the time is the time. And it's funny because Branch also didn't run a great time.
Another one who they rave about Alabama, and it's the intellect, it's the intelligence to go along with the
play. And so much of playing well at that position is having great communication skills, having great intelligence, being able to take what you see on tape and put it into play on the field, and trusting, okay, here it is. They've lined up 3x1 15 times. This is what they do. This is the play that's coming. Guys, I'm going.
Think about Sauce Gardner at corner last year, Buck.
Yeah.
You talk football with that guy. You can see, like, everybody, oh, the cool nickname and all that kind of stuff. That dude is football smart and real smart. He can talk to you through everything.
Well beyond that stuff. I mean, look at Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and being able to talk to him and understand ball and all that other stuff and how he just got it. And he made a difference for the Eagles when he joined the squad coming from the Saints. Having that ability to not only like see it, anticipate it, go for it, and just making the plays that are there to be made, man, when you have a guy like that, it changes the dynamics of your secondary.
I we're kind of wrapping this thing up here, Buck, because it's been a fun exercise going through this. But I go back to, gosh, when I started with the Ravens in 03, and Phil Savage was there with Ozzie Newsome, and the whole philosophy, that core philosophy, we've talked about it on here. We haven't done it in a while, but we had the STI index, man. It was speed, toughness, instincts. Every player, you know, quarterbacks are a different category with what you look for, but if you look at non-quarterbacks, speed, toughness, instincts. And then I think going through this process, to me, I think you obviously character, you know, factors into that as well. That's a no-brainer. But the underrated aspect as I'm kind of going through all these players is like intelligence, you know, like Bill Belichick's talked about that forever. Like he wanted to play with guys that not only had the athletic ability to make plays, but he wanted to have a smart football team.
Yeah.
Look at some of these best players in the league, Buck. These guys are smart, you know, like they take it. They can take it from what they see and then and transition it to what they're when they're on the grass.
DJ, you can't go wrong with smart players. When you have smart players, it allows you to do so much more. Not saying that you have to have more volume in your playbook, but it allows you to play the game differently because they have the ability to take what they see on the board in film room and apply it on the grass, being able to see it and make adjustments right away. It's one of those things why, and people don't understand because like there was a time in the league where you want a college graduate. So I know Chip Kelly, when he was in the league for that, when I was with the Carolina Panthers, it was important that guys graduated college because there was a level of intelligence that comes along with that. The Patriots have always been big on that part of it. And it's because like smart guys make the plays. They may be limited sometimes, but they make the plays. They see it. They play faster. And it's just a lot easier to do it with high IQ guys as opposed to the guys that have a very, very tough time comprehending and understanding what it is that you're asking them to do.
Yeah, it's so true, man. Well, this is like a fun break today. You know, I think it is helpful. I think teams, I'm sure some do it. I think more should pause, you know, in the middle of this thing as we're a month away and say, okay, let's take a quick break, you know, and free agency helps with that. You know, you go through the free agency process, you're dealing in the pro personnel world before you get back to the draft here. But I do think it's helpful. It's a reminder. It can help crystallize some thinking as you're trying to sort through these players here with a month to go. But this was a fun exercise, Buck.
Yeah, it was fun, man. I love doing this kind of stuff because sometimes we get bogged into doing the stuff that's very popular at this time, like mock drafts and lists and stuff. And to get back to talking about what we look for, evaluating the essence of scouting, that's really what the pod is about. The pod is about that stuff, talking about that, having those conversations, bringing guys in, kind of giving them a little peek behind the curtain. Today was one of the conversations that, like, if we were working together at lunchtime, this is the conversation that we would have when talking about guys.
Yeah, no, it's kind of your North Star, right? You got to make sure that you're following the right path here as you're trying to get these guys lined up and make the best selection for your team. Well, I hope you guys have enjoyed this as much as we have. We have Anthony Richardson's Pro Day tomorrow on Thursday. That's 11:30 a.m. Eastern on NFL Plus. So you can check us out there as we finish up the big four quarterback Pro Days here. He's the last one to go. We'll be on for that. And then we'll be back next week with a whole new round of podcasts for you. So be on the lookout for that as well. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP.
Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.